The testimony of Daniel, we continue with. And in our study of the book of Daniel over the last 3 weeks, we have seen that the dominion that was handed over to Nebuchadnezzar will go according to prophecy the same way as it did with Adam when he was given dominion. When Israel had dominion, they lost it. And from the head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar being that head, from the head of gold it will degenerate by stages, from silver to brass, from brass to iron, from iron to clay, each step being more and more corrupt and divisive in its nature and in its dominion of Jerusalem. Those who are acquainted with the history of Israel know how all things come to pass that are prophesied with regard to Israel. If you know anything about Scripture, you can see it. It's clear as can be. Deuteronomy 28:62 says, "And Israel, ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of the heaven, because thou wouldst not obey the voice of the Lord God." And so the ensuing curse over the next centuries are terrible with regard to Israel and tell us of the removal of all the privileges, the blessings that were attached to those chosen people. First, we find the 10 tribes, and then 2 were removed from their land, and dominion was given to the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And with this man, Nebuchadnezzar, commenced 2,600 plus years, spoken of in Scripture as the time of the Gentiles, and that's where we live today. Today in our study here in the book of Daniel, we will see this time symbolized as a tree, and that these things must run their destined course before all of Israel shall be saved, as we read in Romans chapter 9. The fourth chapter of Daniel is perhaps one of the most remarkable in all of Scripture. For it was not written by Daniel himself, but was actually written by Nebuchadnezzar. It is one solitary contribution to Holy Scripture made by a Gentile king. Consequently, Nebuchadnezzar must be allowed a place in history with David, with Solomon, and with Hezekiah. And the careful student will realize that the change of mind and the decrees made by the king in chapter 4 accomplished for Nebuchadnezzar what Ecclesiastes does for King Solomon, who also, King Solomon, had lapsed into idolatry and worldliness, as had Nebuchadnezzar. And the point being that Nebuchadnezzar's change of heart is but a foreshadowing of the fact that eventually all must come to the point that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is God. And how this revolution and revelation occurs for Nebuchadnezzar occupies the bulk of chapter 4, where we find ourselves this morning. And we approach this fourth chapter in order to obtain its testimony to the theme of Daniel, the time of the end, and the general scheme of the book of Daniel as a whole. So, turn in your Bibles to Daniel, the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. And as we read, I will be drawing attention to some of the features that may be of service to our understanding regarding the prophetic foreshadowing of the king's madness, which we find in this chapter. This being the time in his life, in Nebuchadnezzar's life, when he imagines that he is an animal. So we'll start with, and as we have been doing, I'm going to read a lot of this because it gives us a better insight, I think, into what we're trying to study. This is not easy stuff. So Nebuchadnezzar, we'll read about in Daniel chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwelt in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. The first thing is to notice that this is in all the earth. Apparently, everything that in the earth that was settled at that time, Nebuchadnezzar controlled it all. All nations, all languages. It was truly a large kingdom. He was the man. But notice his acknowledgement and changing heart toward the God of Daniel and Israel. Here you can see him beginning to realize, as will all powers and all nations and all kings and all presidents over time will eventually acknowledge that Christ, being the Son of God, was Lord. We continue on with verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace, and I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. And then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told them the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. That's a little different than the last dream he had. He couldn't remember the last one, and Daniel told him what it was and interpreted it also. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head and my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. And the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. And the leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all the beasts of the field, and shadow under it. And the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. And I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. And he cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his root in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, let the portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth, and let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This is by the decree of the watcher, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. The watcher is an angel, a holy one that comes down and is found elsewhere in Scripture. Later in chapter 10, when we get there, we will see how another glimpse of this holy watcher and how these holy ones are seem to be watching over the kingdoms of men here on earth. It's interesting there in verse 17 that even the basest, the lowest of men, is sometimes set up as ruler in this dominion of Israel because of their unbelief in God. It seems strange that the Lord would use such. And earlier when we were reading in Daniel, we saw where he called Nebuchadnezzar his servant. He was using him in his purpose and plan over the nation. And a superficial reading of the holy watchers and the lowest of men is likely to lead, I think, to the wrong inference. We at first think of moral baseness and the idea that all Gentile dominion is rotten to the core because of this wording here, the basest of men. But here the lesson is really a happier one when you look at it in the Hebrew. And a good example of that is found in the last verse, verse 37. If you'll notice, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt, extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, in his ways judgment, and those who walk in pride he is able to abase. The idea here is that those who are abase will become humbled eventually. They that walk in pride, he is able to abase or able to humble. There was hope for Nebuchadnezzar and also for all men of power and corruption. There is hope and they will be humbled. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 11 says, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bound down, and the Lord alone exalted in that day. Verse 18, this dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, and now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in thee. And then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was a stone for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled. And the king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream of the interpretation thereof trouble thee. And Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. And the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O king, that are grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth into heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. So the tree here again is a symbol like the image of chapter 2, which was the Colossus image, of Gentile power over Jerusalem and over the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar, the power and authority of the day, was represented by this tree. The tree had flourished until it dominated the entire earth at the time. So one of the questions that comes to mind here is, what, in verse 22, what are the fowls of heaven that come and lodge themselves in the branches of this tree and had habitation there? Do you remember the great tree which gave a lodging place to the fowls of heaven in the parable of the mustard seed, when we studied the parables there in Matthew 13? And there were the fowls of heaven that came down and devoured the seed, when we studied the parables of the sower, how the seed was sown and in by the wayside, and the fowls of heaven picked it up, and it was sown in the thorny places, and the fowls of heaven took it. The fowls of heaven, as a result of our study back there in Matthew 13, we were able to see that the fowls of heaven, or the fowls of the air, are always satanic agencies in Scripture. Well, here they are again. Satan and his agencies embedded in the Gentile domination of, or the dominion of world power, fowls of the air. And here in Daniel chapter 4, they are confirmed to Nebuchadnezzar as part of the domination. But in Matthew chapter 13, it goes from the transition of the Israel kingdom to the great tree that supports these satanic agencies, 2,600 years of world power. I didn't get that across. In Nebuchadnezzar, it's more narrow. It is with Nebuchadnezzar and that kingdom which is developing into world power. But the seed of the mustard seed there in Matthew 13 is a bigger part of this whole kingdom of God as a result of the mustard seed that we read about in the parables there in Matthew. In the face of this clear testimony in Daniel 4 with regard to the fowls of the air and this tree, it is inexcusable to try to drag the church of today into the parables of the kingdom of heaven. Nebuchadnezzar could well have taught a lot of teachers today about the parables because of what he came to understand about the kingdom and the fowl of the air and so forth. Satan and his agencies have been in that tree for 2,600 years and a part of the kingdom as a part of that which is negative in the kingdom of God. Satan is entrenched in this time of the Gentiles. Verse 23, and whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over. This detail is peculiar. The cutting down of the tree is easily understood, I think. It's Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, Nebuchadnezzar's dominion, cut that down. So also is the leaving of the stump and the roots. Why? Because Nebuchadnezzar is reinstated. Therefore, smiting and restoration of the king can be seen in cutting the tree down, leaving the stump to where it can come back. But what of the brass and the iron that's mentioned in that verse? Remember, the future kingdoms bear brass and iron. And they come later than Nebuchadnezzar. They're kingdom subsequent kingdoms that come about. And here the band of iron and brass indicate that the revival will be retarded until the part of the prophecy indicated by the feet of clay become history. Babylon is to be revised at the time of the end. When the stone strikes the feet of clay that we read about there in chapter 2, it does not simply destroy the clay. If you'll jump back to chapter 2, verse 35. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So the fact that the brass and the iron are mentioned here in this verse shows that that eventually all this dominion, not just Nebuchadnezzar, but all of the power over the nation of Israel is to be done away with and replaced by the stone that's cut out without hands, which is actually the kingdom of God. Another question with regard to that verse, verse 23, is seven times. What is seven times? Well, we'll learn eventually when we get to Daniel, the 11th chapter, we'll learn that times means years with regard to these prophecies. And if this vision referred only to Nebuchadnezzar with no further significance, there would have been no reason for saying, let seven times pass over him. 7 years would have been sufficient. But these 7 years were in their turn prophetic and foreshadowing. And we will find their echo in the final 7 years of Daniel chapter 9 when we get there. Don't forget, everything that we're looking at between 1 and 7 is foreshadowing things to come as well as things that are occurring at that time. The tree occurred, Nebuchadnezzar cut down, he eventually comes back, we'll read about it here, but that's all a foreshadowing of things to come. The entire image is whacked off and done away with. So that's one of the things that makes Daniel very difficult. There's so many foreshadowings and so many things going on currently and yet foreshadowing that which is to come later on. Verse 24. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. And all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom of by might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and give it to whomsoever he will. And the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were growing like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. This actually is a mental disease, rare, but we find it even today. It is called lycanthropy, from the Greek word wolf, and anthropos, which is man. 7 years was this charged to Daniel, or to Nebuchadnezzar in this position. Daniel at that time was 52 years old, we know. So from 52, his age of 52 to age 59, Nebuchadnezzar was running around acting like a wolf or wild, like a wild animal. But then there's a big change. And here we find a person of power, an abased person, humbled. Verse 34, And at the end of the days, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? And at the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase or humble. By pride, Solomon fell. By pride fell Nebuchadnezzar. By pride fell Babylon. By pride fell the angels. By pride fell Israel. God resisteth the proud. It is part of his purpose to hide pride from men. Here, Nebuchadnezzar appears to have learned his lesson. But the Gentile powers of yesteryear and today will pursue their proud course until the blasphemy and the arrogance of the beast brings down forever from the wrath of God. This proud thing that we seem to have in our nature will be brought to naught at the end of the time of the Gentiles, when Christ returns and the stone that's cut out without hands, which is his kingdom, hits the feet of clay. And all of this that we saw in that image, the gold, the brass, the silver, the iron, the ten kings, is smashed and blown away, according to the verse we read there in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel. Now, I'm going to stop there because each of these chapters becomes more difficult, I think, to get into and to look at. But just keep in mind that the first seven here have more to do with the foreshadowing of things to come. In these chapters, we can see the future, what will happen. And then when we get to the last chapters of Daniel is the prophetic part, which actually prophesies that which is going to happen. As is usual the case, I will say, don't take my word. Study to show yourself approved with regard to this. I think I've given you some guidelines here to think about, to comprehend. Not many people ever really, truly understand the book of Daniel and what it's trying to teach us. But believe me, there is a bunch here, and it behooves us to be delving into it. And so next week, we'll pick up with chapter 5. And the strange thing is, I didn't try to figure out how long it was until Belshazzar, who was the son of Nebuchadnezzar, how many years it was. But it sounds as though we just went from the end here of chapter 4 and we jump into chapter 5 and immediately Belshazzar is there. So I think it was maybe 20 years or so, but anyway, next week we pick up with the son of Nebuchadnezzar and the kingdom and some additional lessons. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for the written word. Again, I ask you, give us open hearts and minds and understanding with regard to it. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.